Hasn't it been a great morning of worship so far? So good. Can we just give thanks to the choir and the orchestra and our worship team? Now we're going to continue in worship as we open up God's Word. So open up your Bible to Acts chapter 2. We're going to continue to worship God as we read His Word, but really we want to live out His Word. We're called to be living sacrifices. We're called to not just hear the Word, but be doers of the Word. So today I'm going to be preaching a very practical lesson about discipleship. What does it look like to be a disciple of Jesus? What does it look like to be a disciple of Jesus? As you heard, it's promotion Sunday for our kids and our students. They're going up in a grade. Yeah, we got some students who are, and some kids who are excited about that, maybe a little nervous. But what about the adults in the room? Are we getting promoted? Y'all moving up? I don't want to leave you out, okay? So today is promotion Sunday for everybody. We'll be talking about how we can take the next step in our spiritual formation, our journey with Christ. And so actually, I want to go ahead and recognize if you are leading a connect group or a disciple group of any kind, of any age, would you stand up so we can see you in this room? Amen. Can we just thank these men and women who are leading groups? Amen. All right, you can be seated. Thank you so much. That's what it's about. It's about disciples who are making disciples. And so as you came in, you should have received one of these cards. And on it, it talks about stages of spiritual formation. And so as we begin, I just want you to take a moment to assess. It's always good to assess where we're at. We assess our physical health. We assess our mental health, our emotional health. Well, today I want you to assess where you are spiritually. And so on this card, we've got six different categories of not curious, curious, believer, disciple, disciple maker, and lifelong disciple maker. Now, there's no perfect set of categories, but I think this is a great tool for us to think about today where we are at in our spiritual journey. So let me just ask you, and I want you to think about it, which one of these stages would best define who you are? So just think about it right now. I want everybody just to take a moment. Where are you at in your spiritual formation journey? Now the next question is, what would those around you, where would they say that you are in your spiritual formation journey? Those around you, your family, your friends, those at work, would they be able to know where you're at? What would they say? And lastly, we know that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, our God, knows us better than we know ourselves. Where would Jesus say that you are in your spiritual formation journey? On this, we see the word disciple multiple times. And so I want us to think about what is a disciple. See, every Christian, every true believer of Jesus Christ, every Christian is called to be a disciple. Every Christian is or should be a disciple. In fact, the gospel is an invitation to discipleship. And so do you think about yourself as a disciple? I really want to just let this sermon, let God's word teach us more and more about what this is. What is a disciple? So simply put, a disciple is someone who is fully devoted to obeying the words of Jesus. A disciple is someone who's fully devoted, who's all in, who's fully committed to obeying the words of Jesus. They trust and they obey. Do you remember those first disciples that Jesus called? They were fishing, and Jesus called Peter and his brother to become fishers of men, and they left their nets, and they were all in following Jesus from that day forward. During Jesus' 3 years of ministry, they followed him as his disciples. And they were growing, they were stumbling, he was calling out their faith, they weren't perfect, but they were following him, they were committed to him, they were growing. Being a disciple is not being perfect, but it means being committed to the one who is perfect and doing everything you can to follow him. Discipleship is not about doing some things. It's like becoming, it is about becoming like someone. It's about becoming like Jesus. So, let's turn to our Bibles, if you have not already, to Acts chapter 2, verses 36 through 47. And this is where we're going to find a snapshot of what it looked like to see fully devoted followers of Jesus, fully devoted disciples in action. Now, the book of Acts was written by Luke, who wrote the Gospel of Luke, right? He was a physician and a companion of the apostles. So as a continuation of the Gospel of Luke, he carefully recorded the life and ministry of Jesus, the birth of the church, and the movement of God changing the world. Originally, Luke titled this book with the Greek word praxis, which is the plural form of praxis, meaning acts or actions. So by the second century, this book that we're reading from today was widely called the Acts of the Apostles. Many have said it would be just as well called the Acts of the Holy Spirit, because we see the Holy Spirit unleashed and moving. Or others say it could be the continued acts of Jesus through the apostles. And I want us to think about it like that today, the continued acts of Jesus through the apostles, because when Jesus ascended into heaven and promised to return, his work did not stop. He sent the Holy Spirit to work in and through his disciples. And I want you to think about this. All of our spiritual heritage can be traced back to these first disciples who were filled with the Holy Spirit and who went out to boldly proclaim the good news and make disciples. All of us can trace our heritage back to these disciples who made disciples, who made disciples, and now nearly 2,000 years later, you and I have heard the gospel and the call to be a disciple who makes disciples and fulfills the Great Commission by the power of the Holy Spirit within us. So we're going to look at a passage today that shows us how this movement began. And I want you to know that Jesus is still working today. Do you believe it? Do you believe that Jesus is still working today? We're going to see it here, but what we see here is still happening today. He's still saving. He's still calling disciples, and he's still building his church. Do you believe it? Amen. And is he using you to do that? Are you a part of his work? So in Acts chapter 2, it says this, verse 36. This is Peter. He has just proclaimed and reasoned with this crowd that's gathered for Pentecost. And they've heard about Jesus. They knew he was crucified. They've heard that he has appeared to many people, over 500 people he appeared to before he ascended into heaven. And it says this. This is Peter saying to this crowd, he says, "Let all the house of Israel, therefore, know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as they had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Oh God, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you for your promises. God, we thank you for your plan of salvation that has unfolded before these disciples, Lord. We thank you for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit to come and bring dead people to life, to make those who are sinners to be saved because of your life, your death, your burial, and resurrection from the cross. Lord, we thank you for that. And God, we help us to see how you have moved and how you are still moving today, Lord. I pray that we'll be activated, that we'll be all in. Lord, as I preach your word, I pray that I will decrease and that you will increase. It's in Jesus' name I pray. And all God's people said, amen. So the main idea is a disciple is all in with Jesus, 100% for him, for his mission, for his church. So when we look at disciples and we think about disciples, let's go back to these original 12. They were all in for the gospel. They were all in for the gospel. Peter boldly declares, "Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." All right, this is the same Peter who just about 50 days ago denied Jesus three times. Do you remember that? He said, I'll never deny you. I'll always be with you. And then what did he do? When a young girl around a campfire says, "Aren't you with Jesus?" He said, "No, I don't know him." And he denied Jesus three times and had such a failing. And he fell short. What happened to him? Because now he's boldly proclaiming in Jerusalem, the same city, to thousands of people, the gospel, and he's saying hard truths. So what changed? What changed was he was forgiven by Jesus. When Jesus rose from the grave, he called his disciples, he'd gather my brothers, and he encouraged Peter, and he said, "Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my sheep." And he gathered Peter, and he gave him a purpose. He gave him forgiveness. And what was Peter doing with the rest of the disciples after Jesus ascended to heaven? He was fervently praying. So he was forgiven, and he was fervently praying. He was waiting in the upper room, just like Jesus asked, surrounded by disciples, praying for the power of the Holy Spirit. And then he was filled with the Holy Spirit. So this Peter was transformed, and he went out and he boldly proclaimed the gospel. It says the crowd was cut to the heart. They were under deep spiritual conviction. You know, when we share the gospel, we help reason with people. We want to reach their heads, right? We want to help them understand how the gospel makes sense, how God is who he says he is, how he's on display throughout all of creation, how his word is true and has been proven true. But we also want to reach their hearts. And we can't save people. We can just be obedient to share the gospel. But God saves, and the Spirit was convicting their hearts. They were ready to receive, and they were cut to the heart. And they said, "Brothers, what shall we do? What shall we do?" Peter basically said, "You know this Jesus who came? Guess what? He's the Messiah that you've been waiting for, that you've built your whole life around, that you're coming to worship, and you crucified him. You crucified him." Think about the guilt and the weight. Maybe many of those people in the crowds were yelling, "Crucify him." And now they're hearing that, oh my goodness, this was the Son of God. But I want you to know the good news that Jesus died for sinners. He died on the cross for sinners. And it shouldn't just pierce the heart of these people 2,000 years ago. You need to understand that when you sin, which all of us do, that separates us from God, and the penalty of sin is death. And so, Jesus had to die. It was God's goodwill, the Father's goodwill, to crush Jesus on the cross, the Bible says, so that by his wounds, you and I, sinners like us, could be redeemed, could be forgiven. So Jesus died not just for these people here who are hearing the gospel, but he died because of your sins, because of my sins. But he loved us so much that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so does it pierce your heart? Does it crush you today? Maybe you are saying, what should I do? I'm under that penalty of death. What should I do? Jesus died because of my sin. What should I do? And Peter answered, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's the gospel. Jesus died for sinners. He rose again, and he offers forgiveness to all who repent and believe. Have you believed the gospel? Have you repented and believed? And are you boldly sharing the gospel? Are you all in for the gospel? There was a World War II medic named Desmond Doss. His story is shown in a movie called Hacksaw Ridge. And so I don't know if you've seen that movie or not, but this young man was in the military in World War II, and he ran again and again into the enemy fire to rescue wounded soldiers. Each time he lowered a man to safety, he said a prayer. He said, Lord, help me get one more. And then he would save another. And he would carry him back and rescue him. And he would say, Lord, help me get one more. And then he would go out under enemy gunfire and say, Lord, help me get one more. Until all 75 of these men were rescued. 70 men owed their lives to his relentless effort and to the Lord who answered his prayer. And so here's the gospel truth. If you've been rescued, we should go back and rescue others by sharing the gospel. One theologian said, the gospel is only good news if it gets there in time. So who's your one more that you can go and rescue? Do you have a coworker that you know? Is there a family member that you know that may not know Jesus? Is there a neighbor? Have you been rescued? Let me ask, have you been rescued by Jesus Christ? Yes or no? Audience participation part. Have you been rescued by Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Yes. Then let's go back and get one more. And so the second thing we see about disciples here in the book of Acts is they were all in for disciple making. In verse 42, it says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And so after these 3,000 came to know Christ, what are they going to do with these people? I want you to also know these people had different languages, right? And they were from different places. They had all made a pilgrimage to Jerusalem to celebrate. And so they were all together, but God was working. And when you're in Christ, he brings you together. And so these disciples were together, and it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And so right here, we see a picture of these 12 disciples who are now called apostles. Apostles are those who were directly called by Jesus and commissioned by him in person to go out and make disciples. So these 12 disciples became apostles when they obeyed the word of the Lord. And they went out and they started teaching. What were they teaching? Well, they are being obedient to the Great Commission. Go therefore and make disciples, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. The Great Commission says, go therefore and make disciples. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I will be with you always until the end of the age. Did you get what he said at the end there? Teaching them to obey everything I commanded you. So what were these first disciples doing with the first believers in Jerusalem? Teaching them. Teaching them to obey everything Jesus taught them. They weren't teaching their opinions. They weren't teaching something new. God had given them everything. Jesus had given them instructions to follow. And so they began to teach them everything that Jesus had commanded them. The apostles became disciple makers, and so should we. So, characteristics of a disciple. A disciple loves Christ. A disciple learns from Christ. A disciple lives for Christ. And a disciple leads others to Christ. And so that's an easy way for us to think about those four L's: loving, learning, living, and leading. So loves, let's look at loves. A disciple loves Christ. It all begins with the heart of a disciple. Jesus said what the greatest commandment was. He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. In Matthew 4, Jesus called his disciples to be fishers of men. I don't see a whole lot of fishers of men today in our churches. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus called his disciples to be his witnesses. And statistically, when you look at evangelicals in the United States, there's not many who are witnessing. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, we're called to be Christ's ambassadors, to reconcile men to God. But again, statistically, I don't see many ambassadors for Christ in the world today, relative to how many people call themselves believers. Why is this? Why aren't the vast majority of Christians sharing their faith, going on mission, and growing as disciples? I believe it's because they love other things. Their love for other things in this world has captivated and captured their hearts and taken their attention away from Christ. I know Christian men who detail their trucks better than they do caring about their own souls and following Jesus in their lives. And so, do we love Jesus? Do we truly love him? Are we captivated by him? I believe it's because sometimes our love for other things can outshine our love for Christ. And in Revelation chapter 2, Jesus warns the church in Ephesus, you have forgotten your first love. Repent and do the things you did at first. These disciples in Acts chapter 2, they loved Jesus. And they were willing to lay down their lives for him. He was their greatest treasure. He was their reward they were looking to at the end of their lives. In John chapter 14, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So disciples of Jesus love him first. They trust him and they obey him. So a disciple also learns from Christ. They devote themselves to scripture and the teaching of Christ. Where can we learn about Jesus and what he commands us to do? From his word. And so disciples want to hear from God. They talk to him in prayer and they listen to him through his word. They want to follow and obey Jesus. They want to find his wisdom. They want to walk closely with him. So they learn about Jesus from his word and what he's calling us to do. And then they live. A disciple lives. They practice the way of Jesus in everyday life. They don't just read the word. They think at the end of it, okay, how can I apply to my life what I just heard? Because the word of God is living and active, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And so they say, God, come into my life. Let your word convict me. Let it take away the things that I should not be doing in my old way of life, my old flesh. And Lord, I pray that you'll help me to start doing the things that you're calling me to do. I want to live for you. I want my life to demonstrate that I am a disciple. And the fourth characteristic is they lead. They lead others to Christ. They help others grow and take their next steps in following Jesus. Again, Jesus said, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. So, disciple making is one of our core values here at CFBC. And so I wanted to let you know and invite you. I'll be teaching a new class starting this Wednesday. We've got a lot of great equip classes, and I encourage you to be a part of them. They meet mostly on Wednesday nights and throughout the week. But I'll be teaching a new class this Wednesday night starting at 6:30, and I want to invite you to be a part of it. If you're, especially if you're not a part of anything else, a lot of our church isn't coming on Wednesday nights necessarily, and I would love for you to come and be a part of this exponential disciple-making class. If you want to be a disciple, if you want to know what it looks like to be a disciple, to make disciples, I'm going to have a 10-session class to help give you a tool and a rhythm of making disciples for the rest of your life. So we'd love to have you 6:30 in the classroom next to the bookstore. And so the next thing we see, the next characteristic we see of disciples, of these disciples in Acts chapter 2, is they were all in for the church. They were all in for the church. See, the church is not a place, it's a people. Have you heard that before? The church is not a place. But in our language, what do? We say, I'm going to church, or I'm working on the church, or we think about it as a building. And it's fine. I don't want you to feel terrible if you think about this place, because this is where we meet. But the church is a people. I am the church. You are the church, right? Song goes, we are the church together. We are the church. And so these disciples radically devoted their lives to making disciples, sharing the gospel, and they were all in for the church. The word for church is ecclesia, which is, it literally means gathering or assembly. And so when we gather, we are a physical demonstration of a spiritual church. And so they were all in for the church. We can see it throughout verse 43 through 47. They studied God's word together. They shared baptism and the Lord's Supper together. They prayed together. They gave generously together. They gathered for worship, it says. They gathered in small groups in homes, it says. And so when we want to look at what we should be doing as a church today, we should look back and see what were these disciples doing when the church was first born. They say the stream is always freshest at the source. And so we're going back to the source, and we're seeing what am I called to do? I'm called to be a disciple. I'm called to share the gospel boldly. I'm called to make disciples, and I'm called to be all in for the church. We are eternally connected. We are the bride of Christ. If we've got some relationship issues with one another, we need to work that out this side of eternity, because you're going to be with that brother or sister in Christ forever, right? And so it sometimes relationships are difficult. The church would be perfect if it wasn't for people, right? And if there's no perfect church, and if there is a perfect church, once you join it, it's not perfect anymore, right? And so you got to lean in to obey Jesus, to love the church. God's word says that Jesus is building his church. He died for the church. The church is his kingdom. And so we need to just love the church and do all we can to follow Jesus and love one another. We see this church radically doing that, radically doing that. The church is not about going somewhere. It's about being something. So at CFBC, we have a discipleship pathway that involves you connecting together, being equipped together, and serving together. On the back of this card, you can see connect, equip, serve. And so if maybe your next step today as a disciple is that you need to connect to a small group, you need to find community in a group of people who know you, know your name, who love you, who are gonna support you, because you're gonna go through challenges in this world. God, Jesus says, in this world you'll face troubles, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And he calls us to encourage one another. He has wired us and made us for community. We're supposed to grow up in community. So connect. Connect through Sunday small groups. Be equipped in discipleship groups that meet on Wednesdays and throughout the week. After the service, right outside the bookstore, we're going to have a table set up that will let you know different equip groups. If you want to be a part of an everyman, a warrior group, if you need a men's discipleship group, a woman's discipleship group, if you want to go through the Bible chronologically, if you want to be a part of the disciple-making class, go ahead and go back there and sign up right when you get out of the service. I want you to take your next step. Another step you might take is to serve, to find a place of serving. Maybe you're connected. Maybe you're involved with equipping. But God has saved you so that you can serve. So maybe find a place to serve in ministry and in missions. And here's what it says at the end of this passage. Verse 47. And the Lord added to their number, day by day, those who were being saved. And the Lord added to their number, day by day, those who are being saved. Let me ask you a question. Who does it say was adding to their number? Who was it saying that was adding to their number? The Lord. That's the correct answer. The Lord. So was this just the disciples doing the discipleship thing apart from the Lord? No. He empowered them. He had given them an example to follow. They were being obedient. They were just doing what Jesus said to do and what they saw him do. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Listen, church, Jesus is still saving. He's still calling disciples today. He's still growing his church. The only question is, are you going to be a part of it? What part are you playing? What part are you playing? God, he has a great plan for you. He has a purpose for you in Jesus Christ. And so I want you to take that next step in your spiritual journey today to be like these disciples who were all in for the gospel, all in for making disciples, and all in for the church. All right, so we're going to do something in a little bit that is going to demonstrate this point, but I want you to see this principle of exponential disciple making. I want you to know how just one person can make a difference. So think about this with me. If you, just one person, was to witness for 6 months, obviously the Lord adds to the growth, adds to the number. We can't save people, only Jesus can, but he calls us and he desires us to go and make disciples. So let's say you started doing this. So if you, one person, for the next 6 months said, Lord, it was your prayer, say, Lord, please give me an opportunity to share the gospel with someone and for them to believe and for me to disciple that person. Could you do that? Would you do that? Are you doing that? I challenged a group of students at Tennessee Tech University to do that. And they were doubting. And they were like, oh, I don't know. I guess the Bible says to do it. And it's going to be awkward for me to ask people to decide. But I guess, But I'll tell you what happened. They started asking people. And they would come back and say, oh, my goodness. This person said, yes, that I can disciple them. I'm going to disciple them at breakfast. Or I'm going to disciple them at lunch. And another person asked another person. Every year in Tennessee Tech, when I was the BCM director there, we had over 100 students involved in one-on-one disciple making. And here's where it began. They said, Lord, if you would just put one person in my life that I can share the gospel with or disciple, Lord, will you do it? And so they actively looked as they were making that their prayer. So if you, one person, found one person in 6 months to disciple, then if you disciple them for the next 6 months, after 1 year, there would be two of you. All right, we start small. Don't despise small beginnings. There'd be two of you, but then for the next 6 months, what if y'all did the same thing where you prayed and God gave you someone Each one of you, someone that came to faith in that 6 months period. And then you discipled them for another 6 months. After that year, there would be how many? 4 of you. After 4 years, there would be 16. After 6 years, there'd be 64. After 8 years, there'd be 256. It still seems kind of small. After 10 years, there'd be 1,024. After 12 years, 4,000. Over 13, over 8,000. 20 years, over 1 million. 30 years, over 1 billion. And by 33 years, over 8 billion people will have come to know Christ and be discipled. That's more than the current world population. Can this be done? Yes. The Great Commission will be fulfilled. God's word says, Jesus said in Matthew 24, the gospel will be proclaimed to all nations, and then the end will come. And in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, it says, after this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands. The Great Commission will be fulfilled. And so I want you to hear this truth. You will never experience your full purpose in Christ unless you are all in with Him 100%. All right, so here's what we're going to do. I want us to in this way. Different, just go with me, okay? But I want you to see the power of being a disciple that makes disciples. Every week, I get to spend time in discipleship with 3 people specifically. I meet with Eric McGlisco, so come on up here, Eric McGlisco, if you can come just stand in the front, or stand right over there. I meet with Josh Helms, if you can come up here. I meet with Emily, if you can come over here. And so, if each one of these people went and lived a life of making disciples, of being a disciple maker, then let's see what would happen. So, if they go to you and shake your hand, I want you to stand up. So, go ahead, find someone, shake their hand, and that person stand up with them. Okay, now there's 6. Now 6 of you, find someone else, shake their hand, and stand up. All right, now there's 12. Now you 12, find someone else, shake their hand, and stand up. Now, once you have your hand shook, go find someone else and stand up. And keep, once you stand up, keep finding someone else and that person stand up. So if you are standing, go find someone else. Shake their hand. Don't be shy. Y'all see how it's working? It only works when you stand up, you go and make another disciple, okay? So let's practice what we're preaching here. Once someone goes and finds you, stand up and find someone else. You were rescued to go and rescue. All right, it's moving. Didn't it take long? We still got some people. There are 2.9 billion people in the world who have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Whom shall I send? Who will go for me? We still got people up here. Don't just hang out with your friends. That's what we can do in church. Once we hear the gospel, we start hanging out with our friends. No, we're supposed to go and make disciples. Don't leave anybody out. Don't leave anyone behind. God's word says that the Lord is patient, desiring all to reach repentance. And I think we're at a point. We're pretty much close to the end. Do you see how quickly that happened in just about 2 minutes? About 2 minutes, everyone in a room of maybe 1,300 people are standing because someone reached one who reached one who reached another. That's what happens when disciples make disciples. You don't have to reach the whole world. You just have to reach one person at a time and teach them to reach someone else. So what steps can you take to grow as a disciple of Jesus? Jesus doesn't call halfway disciples. He calls us to follow him 100%. Our worship team is up here. Our staff is going to come forward. This is a practical lesson so that we can apply it. And so your prayer, maybe everyone needs to respond. You can respond right where you're at, but respond. Would you say, God, help me to find one person in my path that I can share the gospel with? Put one person in my life that I can disciple. Maybe they're a young believer who needs you to teach them what you know. If you've been a believer for 1 year, you know more than someone who's been a believer for 1 day. Do you understand? Don't wait. Start discipling. Maybe you need to come up because you are pierced to the heart and you need to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Come up to our staff. However God's leading, you respond.